Chapter 16 of the Revelation, all 21 verses, please. Hear now God's word. Then I heard a great sound from the tabernacle to the seven messengers. Go and pour out the seven bowls of the wrath of God into the land. The first went forth and poured out from its bowl into the land. And an evil and malignant sore came to be on the men having the mark of the beast and adoring its image. And the second poured out from its bowl into the sea, and blood as of a corpse came to be. Every being that was alive in the sea rotted. And the third poured out from its bowl into the rivers and their water sources, and there blood came to be. And I heard the water's messenger saying, Just are you, the is, and the was, the Holy One. For you did just judge thus because they did pour out the blood of the righteous and the prophets. Therefore you have given them blood to drink. Worthy they are. Then I heard saying from the incense altar, Yes, Kyrie, the Almighty God, true and righteous your judgments. The fourth poured out its bowl on the sun, and it was given it to burn men in fire, fierce heat. And the men were burned, and they blasphemed the God having the power of these plagues, and did not turn to give him glory. And the fifth poured out its bowl on the seat of the beast, and its kingdom became shrouded in darkness, and they were gnawing their tongues from the misery, and they blasphemed the God of the heaven for their pains and their sores, but they did not turn from their works. And the sixth poured out its bowl on the great river, the Euphrates. And its water was dried up so that the approach of the kings from the sun's rising would be prepared. Then I saw three unclean spirits as frogs from the mouth of the dragon and from the mouth of the beast and from the mouth of the pseudo-prophet. These are demon spirits which are going forth unto the kings of the whole world, doing signs, to gather them into the great war of the day of Almighty God. Lo, I come as a thief. Blessed the one watching and guarding his garments, that he may not be walking about uncovered, and they observe his shame. And it gathered them in a place called in Hebrew Armageddon. And the seventh poured out its bowl upon the air. And there was a great sound from the holy place of the throne, saying, It is come. And lightnings and sounds and thunders came, and there was great shaking, such as there never was since men came to be on the land. And the great city was made into three parts. The cities of the people fell. And Babylon the Great was recalled before God to give it the cup of the wine of the fury of his wrath. Every island fled, and no mountains were found, and great hail as talent weight comes down from the heaven on the men, and from the plague of the hail the men blasphemed God, for its plague is exceedingly great. Ends now the reading of chapter 16 of the Revelation. Thank you. Quite a chapter, since much of what we read here is much the same language of God as we find throughout the older scripture, and since it has to do with the decreation of God's heaven and earth, Israel, and since we've had some questions here, especially in the second hour, about that heaven and earth language and about God's perception of his paradise land, since there have also been questions concerning the shaking and staggering and the mountains fleeing and the lights being extinguished and the land of plenty becoming a wilderness as if nothing ever existed there before, we need to use some of our time this morning reading. Otherwise, if we don't get this right now, we might not come to know the fullness of God's revelation concerning the creation of Israel. For it was in his perception, a creation in cosmic language, similar in many ways to that of his original creation and its Edenic paradise. Not only that, but without the understanding of that divine perception and his language, we wouldn't know the full scope of the decreation of Israel, as is revealed here in our text this morning. And neither would we know the height and the depth and the breadth of what is revealed of the mighty work of God the Son in the salvation of the world and the creation of his new heavens and new earth for the glory of his Father. So getting this right now, as you can see, is of the highest import. We've gone back to the older scripture literally hundreds of times, since there are over 600 direct references in John's Revelation to the older Testament scriptures in the specific language of God's holy word. And we've noticed many times how God perceives what he has done and how he reveals all of that to men. And we'll do so again this morning as we read from the revelation of God to Isaiah, the prophet. So as you listen, just a little bit of Isaiah chapter 24, just recall what you've just heard here as we read chapter 16 of the Revelation. Now here is God's word through the prophet in chapter 24. For the heaven is opened. We just read that in chapter 15, remember. Heaven is opened. The foundations of the land are shaken. The land is completely devastated. The land is split apart. The land is violently shaken. The land will stagger like a drunkard and sway like a hut. The land's rebellion weighs heavily and it falls, never to rise again. And the moon will be confounded, the sun ashamed, for Yahweh of hosts reigns over Mount Zion. Isaiah chapter 24. See, the prophet writes there the words of Yahweh some 800 or 900 years after Moses. The language is the same as in Moses. The language is the same here in the revelation of Jesus Christ. And here is the full wrath of God poured out now in the seven final plagues, all of them promised in Moses, all of them warned in the prophets. Isaiah, writing Yahweh's word about 125 years before the first great beast of world history, prophesied concerning the rising of those beasts. He wrote of the birth of God's anointed, the Son of Man, Son of God, the Savior of the world. And over again, he wrote Yahweh's warnings of impending doom. The language is that of Yahweh. Doesn't come from Isaiah's mouth, doesn't come from Isaiah's pen. It originated with Yahweh, you see. So it should be so very familiar to us by then. And that language has to do with Israel's status before God as his special creation called heaven and earth, his paradise. And as we just heard in Isaiah 24, it is likened to his original Eden. And then, of course, its decreation. So, since there are still questions now about God's prophetic language and perception, his questions about his perception of what he himself has created, we need to read at least one passage from the great prophet having to do with those things. Now, the last 16 chapters of Isaiah contain God's word, Yahweh's word, regarding the termination of covenantal Israel and the establishment of a new heavens and a new earth under the authority of God's Messiah King. All of it written some 700 years before the incarnation of that King. I'm certainly not going to stand here and read to you all morning, but you need to hear the language. You need to hear the language over and over and over again until we get it. You need to hear how God perceives His own creation and His own history and how He reveals it in history. So I'm only going to read from one chapter at this point, chapter 51. You'll need to read the rest of it yourself. Having read this one chapter, hopefully we can be convinced of the magnitude and importance of all these events that were about to take place as Yahweh spoke to Isaiah, and as Isaiah wrote them down, and then to see what John writes here in chapter 16 of the Revelation as those ancient words meet their finality here in the Revelation. So please listen carefully to the words of Yahweh. I love reading these things to you, and I read them a little bit dramatically, bringing out the important points. Of course, it's all important. So listen carefully to the words of Yahweh as He speaks through the prophet Isaiah to the paradise nation that turned against Him from the beginning. And then afterward, we can read and hear from John the same language of Yahweh as His word reaches its fullness. Chapter 51, part of it. Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness, you who seek Yahweh. Look to the rock from which you were hewn, and to the quarry from which you were dug. Look to Abraham your father and to Sarah who bore you. He was but one man when I called him, that I might bless him and multiply him. Yahweh favors Zion. He furnished all of her waste places, and He made her wilderness like Eden, like the garden of Yahweh. Joy, gladness will be found in her. Thanksgiving, the sound of song. Give attention to me, my people. Give ear to me, my nation. For a law will go out from me. And I will set my justice as a light to the peoples. My righteousness draws near. My salvation has gone out. My arm, my strong right arm, will judge the peoples. The borders hope for me, and for my strong right arm they wait. Lift up your eyes to the heavens, look at the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish like smoke. The earth will wear out like a garment, and they who dwell in it will die like gnats. But my salvation will be forever. My righteousness shall never be broken. Listen to me, you who know righteousness, the people in whose heart is my law. Fear not the reproach of men, nor be dismayed at their revilings. The moth will eat them up like a garment. The worm will eat them like wool. But my righteousness will be forever, my salvation to all generations. Awake! Put on strength, O strong right arm of Yahweh. Awake, as in the days of old, the generations of long ago. Was it not you, O strong right arm of Yahweh, who cut Rahab, the sea monster, in pieces, who pierced the dragon? Was it not you, the strong right arm of Yahweh, who dried up the sea, the waters of the great deep, who made the depths of the sea a way for the redeemed to pass over? The ransomed, the bought ones, The ransomed of Yahweh shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be on their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, sorrow, sighing. So flee away. I am the one who esteemed you. Who are you that you're afraid of men who die? The Son of Man who made like grass. Who are you who have forgotten Yahweh your Maker, who stretched out the heavens, laid the foundations of the earth, and you fear continually all the day because of the wrath of your oppressor when he sets himself to destroy? Where is the wrath of your oppressor? He who is bowed down, that is, the oppressed, shall speedily be released. He shall not die and go down into the pit, neither shall his bread be lacking. I am Yahweh, your God, who stirs up the sea so that its waves roar. Yahweh of hosts is his name. I put my words in your mouth, covered you in the shadow of my hand, establishing the heavens, laying the foundations of the earth, and saying to Zion, you are my people. Heavens and the earth. Wake yourself. Wake yourself. Stand up, O Jerusalem, you who have drunk from the hand of Yahweh the cup of his wrath, who have drunk the bowl to its dregs, the cup of staggering. There's none to guide her among the sons she's born. There's none to take her by the hand among all the sons that she's brought up. These things have come upon you. And who is it that will console you? Devastation and destruction, famine and sword. And who is it that will comfort you? Therefore, hear this, you who are afflicted, you who are staggering, but not with wine. Thus says the Lord Yahweh, your God, who pleads the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of your hand the cup of staggering, the bowl of my wrath. You shall not drink, but I will put it into the hand of your tormentors. Words of Yahweh to Isaiah, 700 years before Jesus was even born. Yahweh has made her like Eden, the garden of God. He established the heaven, laid the foundation of the earth, and called her Zion, which he loved. He who accomplished it all was his strong right arm, the word of God. He is the one who pierced the dragon, birthed his people out of Egypt, dried up the waters of the deep so his people could cross over. However, that nation was not thankful. It did not remember Yahweh and give him glory. It did not obey his commandments. It did not anticipate his coming salvation. Who will comfort this people in the devastation and the famine and the sword to come? Yet Yahweh has promised, hasn't he? He's a people. He has a people who are afflicted and oppressed in this nation. They're dispossessed of all their lands and their goods. They are blind, and they're deaf, and they're lame, and they're broken, and they're demon-possessed. The remnant of Jacob, you see. He causes their tormentors to drink the cup of the wine of his wrath all the way to the dregs. You see, the fullness of this prophetic word, and many others, believe me, seen right here in John's revelation of Jesus Christ, the language is the same. Seeing, after hearing and seeing the harping of the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, John saw this holy place, the holy of holies in the tabernacle of heaven. He saw it opened. And we just heard prophesied from Isaiah chapter 24. And John sees the holy place, the holy of holies. That's where the tabernacle of the testimony is. The image or reflection of that holy of holies in the heaven was that man-made Ark of the Covenant in the desert. And in the Ark of the Covenant, handmade in the desert, were the tablets of the Law of the Covenant, over which was the golden mercy seat and the great creatures, the cherubim, all formed in gold. The Law of the Covenant was the first written word from God to man. It was His word. It was His testimony of His righteousness and His justice. It was the testimony against all who would break the law of His covenant. What John sees here is not the image, though. It's not the shadows. He sees the Holy of Holies in the heaven, the tabernacle of the testimony, the Word of God, over which are the mighty cherubim creatures of God, over it all, the majesty of Almighty God, the Ancient of Days, the Lord of Hosts. John writes that this is the tabernacle of the testimony. It's the tabernacle of the Word of God reflected long ago in the Ark of the Covenant in the desert. There in the text of Moses, it's called the tabernacle of the testimony. The man-made ark held the Word of God. It was His covenant with this special nation, Israel. This tabernacle in the heaven, therefore, is called the tabernacle of the testimony. There is the Word of God, His covenant, the testimony. The 144,000 harped that testimony before the judge of all creation. It was the witness, remember, that Israel had not kept His testimony, His word, His covenant. John sees and hears the witness, and he sees the firmament of the whole creation turn fiery red from the heat of God's anger, for he hears the word of His covenant. Now the holy place of the tabernacle of testimony opens to John's sight. We read that. Remember, the first verse we read in Isaiah chapter 24, and the heavens opened. The sign includes the opening of the tabernacle of the testimony here, but it happens for a particular purpose, doesn't it? Purpose isn't to allow entrance into God's tabernacle. Certainly wasn't for the purpose to pour out blessings. Purpose for the opening of the tabernacle of the testimony was to expose this harlot nation to the full and final wrath of God. Seven bowls, seven plagues. It was His testimony, you see. His word written now in the documents of Scripture to which Israel is now exposed. His word is eternal in the tabernacle of testimony. His word stands forever, and He doesn't change. Therefore, His word never changes. His covenant with Israel is His word. It included the sanctions against Israel should she break the law of His covenant. And that covenant also included the promise to the one man, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that God would save Israel. Proof of the salvation, right here in the sign to John, 144,000 of the 12 tribes of Jacob are harping in the very presence of Almighty God, the Lord of hosts, and they witness to him against those remaining on the land. What is the witness to God? They harp the testimony of God from the Song of Moses, which promises the horrific sanctions should Israel break his covenant. Tabernacle of the testimony. Testimony being the word of God. The tabernacle of the testimony opens right in John's sight to expose the covenant nation to that testimony. And his word, according to John, will not return unto him void. The testimony will be carried out in full. And the tabernacle of the testimony is closed to that word's return until it's carried out in full. The covenant nation will suffer the full exposure to the testimony as the tabernacle of testimony is opened. The elect of the 12 tribes of Jacob, who are the afflicted and oppressed of Israel, having been exodused now from the land in much the same way as Israel was exodused out of Egypt. The final plagues now to come from the tabernacle of testimony, hearkening back to the plagues upon Egypt. The inundation now to come upon the land in the wrath of God, being much the same in which the Egyptian armies went down into the flood of the sea. The sin of Israel being much the same as the sin of the Canaanites when God ordered their complete destruction. This special heaven and earth creation of God is now exposed to the testimony. The sign now shown to John reveals the sanctions promised in God's word for breaking his covenant, because that testimony stands forever. It's now time. It's now time for the full and final outpouring of the wrath of God, prompting the opening of the testimony. John has already seen and heard the blood of all the righteous in history cry out to God from under the incense altar. They cried out to God for his vengeance upon Israel, remember? And now he hears the witness of these 144,000 who Jesus came to seek and to save, his words. He had died for them. They are the ones who were pursued and persecuted and killed by the false shepherds of Israel. He hears them witness to God with the very word of God, the testimony, the song of Moses. It's truly an awesome sign to John, isn't it? For the fiery power and heated glory of the Lord of hosts fills his tabernacle with smoke as a company of special emissaries are sent out with the word of his power. Not to pour manna and meat out, as in the desert, but to pour out his wrath. None of these seven messengers may return to the tabernacle until the full wrath of God is vented upon this harlot nation. It's his word, you see. His spoken word that's sent now from an opened tabernacle of testimony. The messengers themselves are his testimony spoken previously to Moses and to the prophets. It's his spoken word, his strong right arm, which was made flesh. And his word won't return unto him void, because it will do everything for which he sent it. Language, here as before, indicates a termination of that heaven and earth that God had created for himself. just as Moses had written, just as we heard in Isaiah 51, the decreation of God's Edenic paradise on earth. The mighty shaking of heaven and earth, right here in our text this morning. The flood of his wrath, similar to the flood of the earth in Noah's time. The mountains fleeing, the stars falling from the heavens, the lands splitting apart, the lights of the sun and the moon extinguished, the plagues, similar to the plagues in Egypt, removing all of the blessings of Yahweh upon the land, and the land made completely void as if there had been nothing there before, as it was in the beginning of God's creation. Language of God, the terminology of God, is all there as it was from the beginning. So this is what should have been and was, for the most part, anticipated by all his people in the churches. It's made very clear in the seven letters to the churches that we read a long time ago in chapters 2 and 3. Anticipation. They were to anticipate these things. There was to be great fear and dread and awe at all the mighty acts of God and those that were about to be, because his strong right arm had gotten him the victory. His justice, his righteousness, vindicated in history to his glory, for God the Son, the crucified, risen Son of Man, found, marked, sealed every single one of the promise. That was their assurance, you see, those in the churches, as they anticipated the mighty wrath to come, prophesied all the way through Scripture. But you see, there was much, much more for them to anticipate, other than just the fear-producing, dread-producing event shortly to come. We'll see the hope of the nations, the salvation of the world, in the further work of the incarnate Son as his people keep his commandments and hold his testimony. For there is now a new heavens and a new earth and a new Jerusalem and a new tabernacle, the body of Christ. Because the old has been decreated, the new comes to be, and it's better. So you can hear that now with your own ears as we finish this morning. I take you right back now to the latter chapters of the prophetic word written by Isaiah. Two short passages, okay? Listen closely to the language of Yahweh, his words, as given to Yahweh, as spoken to Isaiah, and written down by Isaiah. The language is all that is new is foretold now to replace the old. First Isaiah chapter 65. But you that forsake Yahweh, that forget my holy mountain, that prepare a table for fortune, and that fill up mingled wine unto destiny, I will destine you to the sword, and you shall all bow down to the slaughter, because when I called, you didn't answer. When I spoke, you didn't hear, but you did that which was evil in my sight, and chose that wherein I delighted not. Therefore, thus says the Lord Yahweh, behold, my bondservant shall eat, but you shall be hungry. Behold, my bondservants shall drink, but you shall be thirsty. Behold, my bondservants shall rejoice, but you shall be put to shame. Behold, my servants shall sing for joy, but you shall cry for sorrow of heart and wail for vexation of spirit. And you shall leave your name for a curse unto my chosen ones, And the Lord Yahweh will slay you, and he will call his bondservants by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that swears in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Because the former troubles are now all forgotten, and because they are hid from my eyes, for behold, I create a new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Here is the last short passage from Isaiah 66. For behold, Yahweh will come with fire, and his chariots shall be like the whirlwind to render his anger with fierceness and his rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire will Yahweh execute judgment, and by his sword upon flesh, and the slain of Yahweh shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves to go into the gardens behind one in the midst, eating swine's flesh, the abominations, and the mice, that means starving to death under the plagues of God, they shall come to a complete end, says Yahweh. For I know their works and their thoughts. The time is coming that I will gather all the nations and the tongues, and they shall come, and they'll see my glory. Then I'll set a sign among them. That is, those of the land now he's talking about. I'll set a sign among them. I'll send such as escape of them into the nations, and to the isles afar off, that not heard my name, neither have seen my glory. And the escaped shall declare my glory among those nations. And they shall bring all your brethren out of all the nations for an oblation unto Yahweh, upon horses and in chariots and on litters and upon mules and on dromedaries to my holy mountain Jerusalem, says Yahweh, as the children of Israel bring their oblation in a clean vessel to the house of Yahweh. And of them also I take for priests, and for Levites. For as the new heavens and the new earth which I make shall remain before me, says Yahweh, so shall your seed remain. So shall your name remain. Another name, so shall it remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another and one Sabbath to another shall all flesh in the new heavens and the new earth come to worship before me. Now, open your eyes. Open your ears, your hearts, your minds. See the most wondrous thing that has been done now on our behalf. Ultimately, of course, for his own glory, for his strong right arm has gotten him the victory. Next Lord's Day, John sees now the wrath of God poured out on his heaven and earth as the old is shaken, as the old is decreated. All that is new, all that is unshakable is inaugurated in the crucified, risen, and ascended Jesus, the Christ of God. May God bless the reading and preaching of his word. Amen.